So we're kicking off our series, I Like Big Butts with one T. It's funny, I had a friend, we put this online, and my friend, I've known him like almost my whole life, and he commented on it, and he says, man, the difference one T can make. Oh, man. It was pretty funny. So in this series, it's an interesting one. It's going to be a fun one. People are always trying to find their way through life. They're always trying to find, like, their process. From a kid all the way to even an 80-year-old, 90-year-old person, they're always trying to figure things out, trying to figure out what is the best thing, the best actions, the best plans for my life. And we like to feel like we got it together, like we got this figured out. Like, I have a great plan. But the truth is, if you stared at, you know, human culture and watched us, we're like pinballs. We're just bouncing around off things. Bing, that didn't work. I'm going to try it over here. Bing, that didn't work. I'm going to try this over. And sometimes we hit each other and we collide. And there's all these moments of just, what do we do? How do we figure it? And then you're just drifting. No walls. Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing awesome. Then another wall hits and you got another plan. A lot of plans to figure out. It's hard to decipher if we are making the right moves or not. And a lot of the choices that we make are in the moment. They're situational. It's how we feel in that time. If you follow me on Instagram or on Facebook, you would know that I've had an interesting week. On Friday, I was in a wreck. Thank you guys. I love that gasp. That made my heart feel good. Y'all care about me? Thank you. But don't worry, it wasn't my fault. I'm a good driver, okay? I do well. And what happened was is I picked up my son early from school, and I'm like, you know what? He's been so good this week. I'm going to take him some ice cream. I took him to Fat Cat. And Fat Cat, if you've been to Fat Cat, it ain't cheap. It's lovely. I love, and the people of Fat Cat are listening. I love you guys, but it's not cheap, okay? And so I get there, and I'm like, son, which one do you want? And he, you know, a scoop of ice cream, whatever. He ended up spending like $6 on a cone of ice cream. It's like, man, I'm just so proud of him. And he's just eating it up. He only let me have just a nibble of it. It's so good. And so we're in the car, and we're rolling, and he's, you know, he's in the back seat, and he's eating his ice cream cone and enjoying it, and I go up Shepherd. You know, if you're familiar with the area, I'm going up Shepherd. It's one way, and we just moved, and so I'm still getting used to where I turn because we lived on 24th. Now we live on 23rd, and so I pass the street. So the logical thing you do is you make a square, and I decided to make the Durham square. So I took a left at 24th, and I'm coming back down to 23rd to take another left. And so right before, like, everything's normal, normal day, I'm riding along, and I'm about to turn on 23rd, about 50 feet away. Then all of a sudden, this big black SUV, a Toyota Sequoia, if you've ever seen one, they're huge, just decides, I'm coming over. I'm in the far left lane, and they're the one next to me, and they're like, I want to turn on 23rd too. I'm going to put my blinker on, and I'm coming, whether you like it or not. And they started slowing down. And so unfortunately, I couldn't avoid it. Like, I slammed on my brakes, I whipped the car as hard as I could, and it's like, this is happening. And I bounced off them, glanced them, and the irony is I still turned, but I glanced off and I went down 23rd. And so, I stopped the car, and I'm like, oh man, what just happened? That person not see me? You know, why would they do that? And Gage is crying instantly, and I'm like, oh no, he's hurt. And I'm like, son, are you okay? Are you okay? And he goes, yeah, my arm hurts, but my ice cream! He was more upset about the ice cream than us getting up in a wreck. And his ice cream had, like, flown, like, into the front seat. And it's all over. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So we pull into a parking lot. And it's one of those moments you try to make a plan, right? And I've been enough wrecks in my life that the first one that talks is usually the guilty one. And so I get out of the car, and I barely had a foot out of the car, and the guy is coming up to me, you know, already with the accusation. I put my blinker on. You don't you see me? And before I can even say words, and I knew not to say anything. I knew wait for the officers. I've been through this rodeo before. This lady walks up and goes, "Hey, I saw everything. I witnessed it." And she's talking to me, and she's like, "You obviously were not wrong." And I was like, oh, all right. okay, this is a bad situation, but, you know, things are looking up. I got a witness now, okay, on my behalf that showed up out of nowhere. I didn't even see her. She, like, came out of the tree or something. I don't know. She was hanging out up there waiting for a wreck to happen. She was very sweet, very nice. She even gave Gage a mint and, you know, all this stuff. And it was right, you know, so we waited for the cops. And the guy is just going, put my blinker on. And I'm like, okay, man, just wait, just save it for the cops. You know, don't waste your words. They'll take hers and take yours and all that. We'll be fine. And so we finally get out of there, and it's just a whole headache. You know, I'm on the phone with Geico, trying to keep my son, you know, occupied. And the funny thing was, I kept my son in the car for me, you know, so he, you know, make sure he's fine, calm down. He gets out, and we're getting close to the end of it, and he walks around to the other side of the car, and he goes, Dad, the car's broke. What happened? I'm like, are you serious? We just got in a wreck. You know, all he could think about was his ice cream was gone. He didn't realize that a car hit us to make the ice cream get, you know, anyways. So we get out of there, and I get an Enterprise car and whatever, and so we ended up, you know, everything's fine. They're shipping it off to go get it fixed and whatever. But that guy, in that moment, he thought the best decision. He's like, you know what? I'm going to come up with an excuse. I'm going to come up with this plan, and hopefully it's going to work out. He would have had better luck if he just would have kept his mouth shut and said less, because the more he talked, I was actually thinking, yeah, keep talking, keep going, you know. The more he talked, the more guilty he looked, okay? The more that he was trying to talk his way out of the situation. And at the end of it, the officer comes up to me, and he's like, he tells me, he's like, we're going to put the fault on him. It's obviously not your fault, you know. I'm like, okay, great. You know, I was like, I knew that. And then he goes to talk to him. Of course, he's not happy about that. And then he comes back to me and he goes, he's saying that you claimed fault, like right when you got here. And I was like, no. It's like, I didn't even get to say anything. I was interrupted by the eyewitness who said that it was his fault. And he's like, okay. And so he goes back and does his thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh. The guy still was trying to come up with plans to make it work out, but it didn't work out in his favor. Thank God. God was watching out for me, and our car is going to be taken care of. So are you somebody? Now, he probably did that or learned that, and we learn these opportunities, like these plans. We usually see it somewhere. We're like, you know, that worked for somebody else. Or, man, if I can just, appease this person. Are you a person that follows the butts of this earth? Or are you a person that follows the butts of God? See, I follow the butts of God, and so I don't feel like I have to jump up and start excusing everything and trying to talk it away and come up with these plans, because I know that God's got me, that it's going to work out. Regardless, even if it was my fault, it's going to work out. So who do you follow, the butts of this earth or the butts of God? And so the next logical thing we do as followers is you have a choice to pick who to follow and what to follow and where to go. But here's the thing, when you follow the butts of this earth and you try to, you know, please them, you go, okay, maybe if I make them happy, and I say follow the butts because, you know, butts, everybody has one, and everybody, you know, is trying to make someone happy, but the thing is, although a butt might be good in the moment, it's eventually going to stink at some point, right? Whatever plans that they have, whatever process that they have, it's eventually going to stink, and it's not going to work out. But God's butts, the butts that we find in Scripture, never fail. They are unwavering. They have stood the test of time. And when any moment we find in Scripture where it says, problem, 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 but God has this solution, or he makes this promise to us, you better believe that but is unwavering. It never stinks. It's always good. It's always in our favor. And we're going to look in the Scripture and find out why. So, of course, the buts that we are talking about is the buts in Scripture. When we find, man, the Israelites were going through the deserts, or they were in a tricky situation, but God loved them. Or we just celebrated on Easter. Humans were struggling. They were trying to atone for their sins and trying to reconnect with God. But God sent his son to die for us, to be the ultimate sacrifice. So anytime in Scripture when we find the but, it's a good thing. It's always going to come out and great. So the first but we're going to talk about in this series, the first thing we're going to look at, relates to the constant struggles that every Christ follower faces. a new Christ follower, a veteran Christ follower, whoever, it doesn't matter who you are, you all face this scenario. And that is, am I fulfilling my purpose? Because when you become a Christ follower, God puts purpose in you. So you're not just wandering aimlessly on this earth anymore. Now you are driven. You have something to live for, so you have purpose. And what we struggle with is, are our plans, our actions, are they fulfilling the purpose of God? Has anybody ever struggled with that? Wondering? I mean, I was like, Lord, do you want me to start a church in the Heights? I mean, do you want me to do this or do that? Do you want me to, you know, we struggle with all these things of like, I want to please God. I want to fulfill the purpose that he has destined for me. And so we toil over the options that we have in our life. And we try to come up with plans to best navigate what those are. We want to live for a greater purpose. So how do we fulfill that purpose? So there's a statement, and now I've alliterated so to help you remember it. The statement I want you to think about. Purpose is powerful when it permeates our plans. Purpose is powerful when it permeates our plans. The first scripture, or the first but we're going to be looking at today is from Proverbs 19:21. And it says, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Many are the plans of the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Now, purpose also can, in other translations, also be counsel. And that's basically meaning that whatever a plan that a human can come up with, whatever we can devise in our genius and our logic, you know, whatever that is, regardless of those things can fail. But the counsel of God, the purpose of God, regardless of those plans, will always stand. Meaning that there is nothing that you could fail at that's bad enough to derail the purpose of God for your life. Isn't that amazing? That is grace right there. Man, he really loves you. That despite your mess-ups, despite your situations, despite what your cockamamie plan that you came up with that didn't work out, his purpose for you does not change. His counsel for you does not change because he loves us greatly. So that is a great big but in Scripture that we need to hold tight to because we fail. Our plans will fail from time to time, but the Lord does not change. Throughout time, regardless of what's going on, he has not changed. He has been the same from the beginning of time. Now, our circumstances might have changed. Our situations might have changed, but he has not. And you're like, how is that possible? But he does different things. Go through Scripture. He stands on truth and justice and love. And every action that he has had with humanity has relayed that. Now, the actions have been different. Sometimes the judgment was more harsh than another time. Sometimes the love was more greater than another time. We are created in his image. And how our situations affect the actions that he does. But he has not changed. He has the same God forever and forever. So the followers of Christ, we should be confident. We should be confident, not worry so much about, am I making the right choice? When I opened the front door this morning, was I supposed to step with my left foot or my right foot? Did I start, is there a butterfly effect situation that's going on? That if I didn't touch or if I move this plant, our dinosaur is going to come back to life and eat me? You know, what's the situation? And some of you have, your mind can go that way. And I'm a very creative person. And it haunted me as a child when I would see a horror movie because I could put whatever that demon or whatever that monster was, I could put it anywhere. You know, in my mind, it exists in a thimble. It could exist in a building, you know, whatever it may be. And sometimes our imaginations get the best of us. And it runs away from us. And we begin to derail ourselves from the plans and the purpose that God has for us, as long as we are seeking it and are after it. Because we have the access, because we are Christians, we have the access to the unwavering, unchanging wisdom and truth of God. That should give us confidence. And like last week, I talked about the red rope of redemption. It has not changed. The same rope we get to grab, the same thing we get to be a part of. So I got something for you guys, a little fun thing here. So when we talk about plans, you know, it's better to kind of see something, you know, have a visual. See, when we have plans, like imagine this is our life, right? This is encompassing of your life. You know, there's a limit to what our lives have and it ends. And we come along and we're born and we're like, you know what? I have a plan to eat. I have a plan to do something with that food that I ate. I have a plan to play when we get older, and I have a plan to do good in school. I have a plan to, you know, have friends. You know, this is going to make my life better, and I have all these plans. We get a little older, and we get in middle school, and I have a plan to find a girlfriend or boyfriend. I have a plan to be cool or play sports. You know, yeah, my pockets are filled with ping pong balls, if you're wondering. And each one of these is our plans, and you know we have all these plans we throw in there, and we get to high school and we're like, man, I'm gonna take this job, I'm gonna go through this internship so I can have this plan of doing this job in the future, and you know, and they just begin to pile up and pile up and pile up. Man, I have a lot of pockets on this jacket. I needed it because I got a lot of plans, you know, and I have come up with so many plans that have failed, business ideas, tried things out, plans. There's nothing wrong with that. Be creative, try things. You know, in life, we end up with, you know, we basically end up with just, man, all these ideas and all these things that we decide to do. Hold on, I'll get there, guys. And, you know, we're getting like into our 20s, you know, and we're like, we're going to buy this house and we're going to use this type of mortgage, and we're going to take this path. Sometimes somebody steals your ideas, and they run away from you, you know, and you have all this stuff in your life. Then you get into your 30s, and another idea got stolen. It's okay. It happens in the corporate world. People steal your ideas. You know, like, you know, I'm going to make this move. I'm going to start this company. It's going to be successful. It's going to be great. And then you move into your 40s, like, I'm going to have a retirement plan. Well, some of you might be early big achievers, and what is that in there for? You know, I'm going to have all these plans, retirement plan, and then I get in my 50s, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to plan for the grandkids. I'm going to do stuff there. Then you get into your 60s, and you're like, where am I going to live in my life? You know, where am I going to live the rest of my life? Or where am I going to travel to? You know, where am I going to go? And we have just all these plans, and it fills up our life. It fills up who we are and the opportunities that we have. This is what we end up with. A life full of plans that we've made. Some of them were well thought out and logical. Some of them were in a split second that had a lasting effect. Now you have a ticket on your record. You know, you tried to do that. And the cool thing about God, when God comes along and we have these plans in our life, and you know, we consult to God, and we said, God, what do we should do? What should we do? And we let God, and we come to church, and, you know, and if you weren't a Christ follower, we begin to let God into our life. And see, God is he's malleable. You know, he can fit into anywhere in our lives as we let him. So this is God. God's the water, and he comes along, and he's like, okay, you know, you're letting me into your life. That's great. And you see, because there's gaps between these balls in our life. There's some emptiness. There's some things that needed to be filled up, some areas that we've missed. And he comes along, and we let God fill in these gaps that we have. You know, and it's great, and it's starting to feel like our life is feeling more full. You know, we're letting God, you know, influence the way we spend our money, the way that we do things, and it feels great because the gaps are getting more and more full. And this is when life starts to get fun. You know, and if you're a new Christ follower, you understand what I'm talking about. Or you're recently back, you know, back to following Christ and putting him first. You know what I'm talking about. You end up in these opportunities, you know, and God begins to fill those gaps, and your life feels more and more full. So that's one of the beautiful things, is that God fills the gaps in our life. He comes along and he fills these moments where our plans didn't quite hit it. They didn't line up with the other plans quite well. So he had to fill the gap of those plans. And so we come along, and one of the beautiful things about God, and we find this in Romans 8:26-28. I'll read it to you. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, our gaps in our life. He helps with our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, you are the saints, according to the will of God. And we all know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. According to his purpose. Now, we do this in our life, and so I would ask you, do you feel, other than the little top up here, I want to fill all the way with water. So what, do you think that there is gaps in this now? You don't think there's gaps? There are. Inside the balls. Inside the balls, they're hollow. There is air inside those balls. You see, when we make plans in our lives and we don't include God in those plans can be very hollow. So the guy that had the instant plan of how I'm going to get out of this situation, get out of this ticket, his plan was hollow. His plan did not work out for him because it was not well thought out. We have plans, and any time we come up to, we cannot see our future. We have no idea how what we are going to do is going to affect our life. So ultimately, when we come up with a logical solution, it might look good, it might work in the moment, it might bounce the right way that we want it to, it might fit in the right spot, but truly, it could fall apart any moment, it could cave in, because we can't tell the future. They are ultimately hollow. But here's the cool thing. Here's the cool thing when it comes to this. With an opportunity from God, when our plan, remember what I said, purpose is powerful when it permeates our plans. So in Jeremiah was a prophet, and he was known as the doomsday prophet, and this is why. So Jeremiah was a cool guy, right? And in this moment, in God's people, in the Old Testament, God's people, I'm going to summarize, I can't read the whole thing, I'm going to summarize for you guys. Basically, God's people are caught in the midst of a power struggle. There are kingdoms that are wanting their land, and they are fighting over it. And God's people are like, we just want to live here, guys. We just want to be here. You know, whatever the king is, whatever, just be nice. We just want to be here. But it doesn't work out that way. Because of the power moves, they were forced out. They were forced out. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, took them out of their land to save them, to help them, because they were going to die. And they were in this turmoil, in this moment. And so Jeremiah, in many occasions, prior to having to leave, and while there, he tries to counsel with these kings, these leaders. And he's begging them. And he's saying, hey, stop with your plans. That's great that you have them, but I'm trying to tell you what God is trying to say, and you're not listening. Stop with your plans, because your plans are empty without God, without his purpose. See, what made God's people so powerful is because they followed God's direction. And when God gave direction and he made a promise, he backed it up. He did. He filled in the gaps. He filled in the plan, whatever needed to happen to see it through. And it's not happening in this moment because the kings are like, I know what we can do. We can have this. We can devise this plan. We can send these people this way. And Jeremiah is trying his best. He's like, we are going to just be obliterated if you don't stop it. Stop trying to push your plans on our people and moving away from God. And so God, so in the moment, but they were still God's people, and the kings would submit to God in those moments, like kind of like us. We're like, we got plans, but then we recognize God, and these kings did. But so God would fill in the gaps and he would help them survive through the moment, but then they would go back to whatever their plans were that were empty. They met a lot of demise because of it. And so through all this process, all these bad things that were happening, and now we're reaching the end, and all God's people are scattered. Jeremiah sends a letter. And this is specifically to God's people, because it was 10,000 of them. 10,000 people that were exiled in Babylon. And in Babylonia. And so he sent them a letter. He wanted to encourage them with what God said. And this is Jeremiah speaking on the behalf of God. This is his prophecy from God. In Jeremiah 29, 10 through 11, it says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years, exactly 70 years, he even said it to the date, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you." God's saying, "I will visit them, and I will fulfill my promise." The promise that he previously made, it's not even for this moment, the promise, and bring you back to this place, meaning bring him back to the land that he promised them. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare." And when I say welfare, we see sometimes we see it differently. That meant like just riches and fortunes and good things to happen. "Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a..." This is awesome that he said this. "To give you a future and hope." Isn't that what we're after? That's what we're all after, right? Born on into life, we just want a great future and hope in that. And we make all these plans and we strive for that. But God has been promising before you were even born for God's people. He knows he had the plans that he has for you and the purpose that he has for you. Because he wants you to have a future and hope. Jeremiah was assuring the remnants that if they would just have faith, if they would just have faith and fulfill and fill their plans with the purpose of God, God will restore them regardless of where they are. So back to our ping pong ball plans here. This is the cool thing that happens. See, when we let the purpose permeate the plans, this is what happens. Powerful things begin to happen. God comes along, and our plans begin to change. And as more and more God comes along and he starts filling all of these gaps, and our plans begin to just fall away. Not that our life is falling away. Our life is still there. It's strong. But all these plans begin to change. And it's the cool thing that God does is as he fills us up, as he fills in the gaps, and we say, "God, just take over. Just do your will with my life. Lord, I don't know if I'm supposed to live in this house, but I'm going to go for it, Lord. And I'm going to trust that you are leading me and that your purposes are there for me. Lord, I don't know if I'm supposed to take this job. I don't know if I'm supposed to marry this person. I don't know if I'm supposed to move to this land. I don't know if this, if that. I don't know if I'm supposed to follow in this certain way." And we come along and he begins to fill and fill and fill our plans with his purpose. And the cool thing about it is that we get to see it happen. And if you have tried this in your life, you know what I'm talking about. You know that when you have finally filled your life with God's purpose, you feel completely full. And you're filled with God's purpose in your life. There is no gaps in here now. There is no space that hasn't been reached. This is the kind of life, the fulfilled life that God wants for you. Whatever that plan is that you're leaning on in your life that said, "This is going to be the surefire thing. I know this is going to fix it. This is going to make it better. This is going to make me the best that I can be." Do that thing. God still wants you to have the plan, but if you let his purpose permeate that plan, man, it becomes powerful. So what I'm telling you guys is that regardless of where you are in your life, regardless if you've missed a step, if you were even exiled out of your situation, if you were forced to do something that you didn't want to do, that it deviated from the plan that you had, that you felt that God was telling you, regardless of where you end up, God has a future for you and hope for you because but God can do this for me. In the same promise that he made God's people in the Old Testament, a millennium away, decades, millennium, whatever it may be away, whatever that is, that in that time, that's the same promise for you. You are also God's people. He created and designed you to follow in his purpose, to follow in his will, so you could live the fulfilled life, the abundant life. And when you reach this, when you let God permeate his purpose in every part of you, you don't have to wake up with excuses. You're not having to fight to say, I'm gonna follow the butts of this world and try to please those butts and try to make them happy so that I could win and I could get, because even if they're not happy, God's purpose still comes through. That's why in those rough moments, I don't feel like I have to beg. I don't feel like I have to say, come up with an excuse or change the situation for my favor, because I know that regardless of the situation, regardless where we end up, regardless if my house burns down, regardless if I get another car wreck, regardless, God's purposes are still pushing my plans. And I have to tell you, the plan for Village Heights, it wouldn't happen under my own, our own abilities, our staff's own abilities. God gave us a plan, and he fulfilled that plan with a purpose. We had many reasons, many opportunities to say no more. Let's give up. This isn't logical. This isn't working anymore. We need to come up with a new plan. We need to move somewhere else. But because we let God's purpose permeate Village Heights' plans, Village Heights is fulfilled. Our bank accounts have gotten low, and they fill back up. Can't explain it. I didn't do a cookie sale. I didn't do a bake sale. I didn't do some weird thing. I didn't go beg for money. God sent it. When we didn't have the right person for the right task or skill to fulfill the plans that we had for to fulfill the purpose of the cause of Christ, God sends somebody out of the blue. Somebody we didn't even know, just came out of nowhere. When God hit us, slapped us upside the head with armistice and said, I want you to do this thing now. I know you have nowhere near amount of money to make it happen, but I want you to do this. And I want you to plan it out. And I want you to present it to people. I want you to put it out there. Have some faith. We had no idea that somebody's going to come along and say, we're going to match dollar for dollar what you raise up to $200,000. And then if you're just giddy and you get more money, we'll match that too. And it's a gift. It's not even a loan. How much more can we define the purpose of God permeating our plans and making it happen regardless? Yeah. So regardless of your plans, regardless of where you're at today, where you might not feel that I don't have a plan or my plan isn't working, give it to God. Yeah. Say, Lord, take this plan. Fix it. If it needs to be changed, change it, Lord. If I need to walk through a new door, if I need to change my attitude, if I need to redirect where I go in this corporation, if I need to talk to my family in a different way, show me. I guarantee it. Because he made a promise to his people, which is you, a long time ago, that he's going to give you a future and a hope. Promised by God. Like I said, the butts of this here on earth will make you promises. There are people that will come along and make promises to you. They'll say, man, if you just do this, if you just try this, that's fine. Take advice. That's good. There's never a problem taking advice from somebody. But make sure that you make it stand up against the butt of God. Does this line up with him? Does this line up? Because that's the one that will not change. Because whatever promise you're made in here, sometimes they will stink. Sometimes they will not follow through. And I want to stand on the butts. I want to follow the butt that has stood the test of time. So I don't know about you. I want to follow that track record. I want to follow that butt. Now, I know this series is funny, and it's meant to get people's attention and help attract, you know, people that may never go to church. But this is a serious subject. Because I hate to see the people of God without confidence. I hate to see the people of God not confident in the things that they're doing, their plans, because I know The same promises God gave me, the faith that I stand on, is also available to you. So as we go out throughout this series, remember these moments. Remember those times so that when you hit your wall, when you are exiled, when you have to leave a job or leave a place, or it's just, or money has left you, whatever it may be, remember, God made you a promise. And they are riddled throughout Scripture. Open it up, check it out, and lean on those promises, because they will not change and they are unwavering. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do in our lives. Thank you for just giving us purpose, having a plan for us. Lord, regardless of where we step, how we step, Lord, whatever plan that we decide to go with, you will take that plan and you will work all things together for the good. Thank you so much for loving us and sending your Son to fulfill the ultimate plan for us, the ultimate promise, the ultimate sacrifice, so that we can be in direct connection with you and have access to the Creator, the unwavering, the big promise maker, fulfiller, God. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we give you all the praise and all the honor. Amen.